Well, let's pray to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, please speak to us now through your word. Open our hearts by your spirit and change us to be the sorts of people that you want us to be. Amen. Well, please do sit down. We're going to be continuing in our series on Mark this morning, looking at Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 43. Well, this morning I want us to imagine that we are one of the disciples. Let's say James. Imagine you're James, one of the sons of Zebedee, and you have responded to the call of Jesus on your life. So much so that one day when Jesus walked past and said to you, "Follow me," you responded. You followed Jesus in faith. And that did take a real act of faith. You left your fishing boat and your career and you followed Jesus. Well, you've been with Jesus for quite a while now. You have seen some truly amazing things. You have seen Jesus show authority and power in his teaching and in healing. So 2 weeks ago, we read about the calming of the storm and the healing of a demon-possessed man. Do you remember the awesome power of that demon-possessed man? About 2,000 demons were in him. And Jesus just sorted the problem out. You were there, you witnessed it. It was awe-inspiring. And the raging storm. You were in that fishing boat that was becoming more and more swamped. You thought your days were up. The storm was just too much. Waves crashing in over the boat, and yet Jesus, what did he do? He stood up and with a simple command said, "Be still," and the storm stopped immediately. This made you even more frightened and astonished. Who is this man that you're following? That he has command over the weather? That he has command over a terrifying man full of 2,000 demons? Jesus just seems to be in total control of every situation. So quite obviously, Jesus is no ordinary man. He is from God. But he's no ordinary prophet either. You realise that Jesus truly is somebody special. He is showing power and authority that only God himself should have. But the other thing that you're noticing now is that Jesus is speaking more about what it means to have faith in him. So for example, what did Jesus say to you and the other disciples after he calmed the storm? He said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus wants his followers to have a deeper trust in him. Even though you and the other disciples have already left so much to follow Jesus, he wants you to go deeper. And in the episodes we see today, that message continues. Don't be afraid, just believe. So take a look at verse 21 of chapter 5. You have once again crossed the Sea of Galilee, and you're not surprised to see there's yet another crowd gathering around your master. And then verse 22, one of the local synagogue rulers named Jairus approaches. You're amazed at what happens next. Jairus is a respectable man. He's an important man, and yet he falls at the feet of Jesus and pleads with him. Verse 23, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she may be healed and live." And two things strike you. Firstly, here is a man who is desperate. He is in a right state as he's been seeing his daughter's sickness get worse and worse. She could die at any moment. And you can feel the impatience of this man. He wants Jesus to get moving now. Run. Help my daughter. Secondly, you notice that here is a man who's showing faith. He's come to Jesus after all, and that's good. He shows confidence in Jesus' ability to do what nobody else can do. So Jairus shows an initial demonstration of faith. And Jesus goes off with Jairus. You follow him, along with everybody else. We see that verse 24. But then, horror of horrors, there's a delay. Even though there's no time to lose, there is a delay. Even though this poor little girl is at death's door, Jesus stops to have a bit of a conversation. How frustrating is that? You want to shout at Jesus, come on, we don't have time to do this. And yet Jesus, he doesn't seem to be that worried about the delay. Just the same as when he was in the boat. Everybody else was in headless chicken mode in the boat. Not Jesus, he was fast asleep on a cushion. Here too, everybody wants Jesus to get a move on. But Jesus seems to be in no hurry. He is working to his own time scale. And that brings us to my first heading this morning. True faith requires patience. True faith requires patience. Well, let's take a look at what's causing the delay. The first you notice of it is Jesus stopping and he's looking around. He keeps asking, who touched my clothes? To which you reply in verse 31, well, you see the people crowding around you. And yet, you ask, who touched me? You try to grab hold of Jesus' arm. Come on! We've got an emergency situation. But Jesus won't have any of it. You continue to think, what is Jesus playing at? Doesn't he know a little girl is dying? We cannot afford to be late. Eventually, a woman comes forward and she falls at the feet of Jesus. Everybody seems to be falling at the feet of Jesus at the moment. The demon-possessed man did it. Jairus has just done it. Now this woman. Who is this man I am following who commands such respect, you think? Well, we'll look more closely at the woman in a few moments, but let's just focus on the delay. You think it's nice that Jesus cares for this woman, but you're also thinking it's a bit irresponsible for Jesus to spend time at the moment on a non-critical case. The woman's been ill for 12 years. Another 30 minutes won't matter that much. Why doesn't Jesus say that? Stay here, love. I'll be back in half an hour. I've got a priority case to deal with first. But no, Jesus doesn't do that. So why the delay? Is Jesus being insensitive? Does he not understand the gravity and urgency of the situation? Of course, it's neither of those things. Jesus knows full well that Jairus' daughter is probably already dead. But he's using the delay to teach his followers something more about faith. True faith requires patience. I mean, why do we think Jesus needs to hurry up? Do we think that Jesus isn't completely in control of all the events? I mean, we must think something like that if we're getting frustrated, wondering why Jesus won't hurry up. But Jesus is trying to show us more about himself. And in doing so, he wants us to understand his complete and total authority over all things. And in this passage today, he is showing us that he has authority over both sickness and death. So true faith is about trusting him no matter what the situation. You see, if Jesus really is both Messiah and God, well, it doesn't actually matter how long the delay is. Jesus is in control anyway. And that's what Jesus wants us to realise. So true faith sometimes requires patience. Because too often, we're impatient with God, aren't we? I know I am. We want God to work to our time scale, not his. But when I say that, am I not saying, look God, actually I know better than you, so get a move on please. Jesus, you really must act now. Don't you realise that? No, true faith is handing everything up to the Lord and then letting him deal with it in his own time frame. So that's my first point this morning. True faith requires patience. The second point is, true faith is not superstition, but confessing Jesus as Lord. True faith is not superstition, but confessing Jesus as Lord. So now let's look at this sick woman. Take a moment to notice the condition of the poor woman, verse 25. She's been subject to bleeding for 12 years. It's an awful condition. Verse 26, when she went to the doctors, she ended up spending all her savings. She's got no money left. And instead of getting better, she's worse. The woman has a chronic illness. Nobody seems to be able to do anything about it. And of course, the other thing is, she's unclean in such a condition. So she can't fully take part in the community of Israel, God's people. But the good news is that this lady has the courage to come to Jesus. Unfortunately, it looks like her thinking is a little bit muddled. So notice verse 28. What does the woman think? If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. So her faith is actually bordering on superstition. Oh, if I can only touch his magic cloak, I will be healed. As if Jesus is full of magical power. And Jesus wants to correct this misunderstanding. Faith in him is not a superstitious faith. I wonder, can we today turn faith into superstition? Perhaps we treat prayer as merely a means to solve a problem. And that's what I call a slot machine faith. Push the coin of prayer in the slot and just hope a result will come out. Prayer can work like that, but prayer's a relationship with God, talking to God. Not just a means to get what we want. How else might we veer on superstition? Maybe we rely on our level of church attendance, or that we were baptized as a baby, or that we took Holy Communion last week, or that we make the sign of a cross. None of that's bad in itself, of course. It's good. But true faith focuses on Jesus rather than any ritual act of worship or particular prayer. You see, superstition is focusing on me and my problems and how they may be solved, whereas faith is focusing on Jesus as Lord. Superstition can even be done without really making that much of a public commitment to Jesus. Oh, I must be all right. I had some water splashed on me as a baby. Following Jesus is not about asking for a quick fix in the darkness. It's about following our Master as totally transformed people. So true faith is responding to Christ's call to follow him no matter what. And that is a life-transforming experience. It's a loving relationship with the God of the universe. Not just a quick touch of the cloak of Jesus. And so Jesus, you see, corrects this lady's faith. Look, it's not touching my magic cloak that has healed you. No, it's your faith in me that's what has done it. And Jesus wants her to publicly affirm that she has come to Jesus. For us, Jesus wants our faith not to be a quick superstitious fix, but a life-transforming experience of him as we recognise and confess him as Lord. Well, there's a lot we can learn from this. Is our faith centred on Jesus as Lord and Christ? Is our faith allowing ourselves to be remoulded according to his will? Being changed into the likeness of Christ so that we can live for him and worship him eternally? Or is our faith purely centred on me and my problems? Well, let's come to my final two headings, and I'm going to deal with these two together. True faith means trusting Jesus even when everything is falling apart. And true faith means trusting Jesus even in the face of death. So come back to being James and look at the two situations before you. There are two sets of desperate and, quite frankly, impossible circumstances. Firstly, the woman's plight was desperate. She had exhausted everything humanly speaking. She had a chronic condition. No doctor had been able to help. They'd only made her worse. She was suffering physically, financially, and spiritually because she was unclean as well. Likewise, Jairus is now facing a desperate, impossible situation. Because of the delay, what has happened? Verse 35, the devastating news comes, your daughter is dead. What awful news. Can you imagine the frustration of that news? Oh, if only we'd been quicker. Only we hadn't stopped to have this conversation. And yet, verse 36, ignoring what they said, Jesus says to the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." True faith is trusting Jesus even when everything seems to be falling apart. Don't be afraid, just believe. Jesus chooses a select group to come with him. Peter, John, and yourself, James, are privileged to follow him and Jairus to where the little girl is laid. And when he gets there, he describes the little girl as being asleep. Everybody knows she's not asleep, she's dead. But Jesus is making a point, because to Jesus, death is but sleeping. Jesus holds the keys to life and death. And this is where the most astonishing and wonderful thing of all happens. Jesus takes the dead girl's hand and says, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Such a simple command, but a powerful resurrection command. Jesus is calling this dead girl to come back to life. And the language he uses is beautiful. Some people translate it as, "Come on, honey, it's time to get up." And what happens? She gets up. Jesus here continues to reveal his awesome authority. 2 weeks ago we saw his authority over nature and evil. Now we see his authority over chronic illness. Illness that nobody else could cure. And now Jesus shows authority over the ultimate enemy, death itself. He treats death as if it's simply sleep. Again, we should be asking, who is this? Even death obeys him. Well, I think there's two lessons to learn here. Firstly, sometimes life is a complete mess. Everything seems desperate. But Jesus wants us to know that even in those times, he's still in control. And he's still Lord, despite the mess. We can be in the worst place possible, physically, mentally, spiritually. But Jesus calls us to have faith in him. He can sort our mess out in an instant. However, for some unknown reason, he might choose not to. But you see, these stories are here recorded for us to remind us that even in the mess, Jesus is still in control of everything. And he wants us to have a patient faith that is centered on him. He wants us to have total faith. He wants us to have faith in his total authority, even when everything seems to be falling apart. No matter how bad the situation is, Jesus is in control. So don't be afraid, just believe. The second lesson to be reminded of today is that Jesus has power over death. We will all face death one day. It is our greatest enemy. But look at Jairus' daughter. Jesus has demonstrated authority over it. As we look ahead to our own deaths, the message Jesus has for us is, don't be afraid, just believe. Death is a big problem for us. It's due to human sin. But remember, Jesus came and provided purification for sin. He died in our place on the cross. And if we have faith in him, what does he promise? He promises us that death is no longer a problem, because we who trust in Jesus have eternal life. That is the promise Jesus makes. And we can trust in his promise. Don't be afraid. Even in the face of death, don't be afraid. Just believe. So let me close. We all face trials in this life. Day by day, faith can be a challenge. Sometimes things just don't make any sense at all, and we can get impatient. We certainly get impatient when it appears that our prayers are not being quickly answered. But let's be confident. Jesus is in control. He actually knows what he's up to. And he calls us to focus on him. To let our lives be transformed as we follow him. And one day all of us will face death. But again, let us be confident. Jesus has conquered death. In John chapter 11, Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha replies, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Well, is that something we believe? Because that is true faith. Let's pray. So, Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world to die on a cross to rid us of our sins so that we can live forever with you. And when life doesn't make sense, when we go through trials, help us to look to Jesus and to know that he is in control, and to know that we, if we trust in you, have eternal life and will inherit your eternal kingdom. Help us to have a patient faith, a confident faith, and just to look forward to eternity with you. Please fill us with your Spirit. Deepen our faith. Transform us, we pray. Amen.